Welcome back, you guys. Episode 74 of Zero Carb Journal. Nice to see you guys. How you doing? Did you have a good week? Did you stay the course, make some progress? I bet you did awesome. I hope you did. I had a wonderful week. It has been really great. It's later today. It's almost noon here, and I'm just returned home from driving, and I went down to visit my folks, my mom, for Mother's Day, and so I just got back, and I was just down there for a day, but it was really nice. But I'm back, and I'm doing this a little later, so it's like noon. It's cloudy out, and this week, I had an awesome week, you guys. It was so great. It has been glorious weather. Excuse me, I got road eyes, I guess. It's been glorious weather, just wonderful, and my big boat project is stuck in the mud, figuratively. It's not really, but my role is on hold while they get some paint and stuff like that done, or it was this last week. Hopefully I'll be able to jump back in there on Monday. But at any rate, I went in to work this last week, and there wasn't much to do. So I've had a wonderful week in the sun. It was glorious. We had excellent surf, which is rare. And so I surfed twice on Tuesday, I think so. Wednesday once, Thursday, don't remember. I think maybe that might be it. Anyways, I surfed a lot. I mean a lot. And I just had an unbelievably, really a profoundly sort of positive week from the perspective that I was able to evaluate my sort of athletic performance. You know, I've been trying to get fit and working out, and I've done some surfing and this and that. But it's only in the last maybe 6 months or so that I've sort of settled down on my body weight fitness workouts, on my pull-ups and push-ups and stuff. You know, I sort of realized that I was really exhausting myself through those workouts all the time. And while I still endeavor to exhaust myself like that periodically, I about 6 months ago, I really noticed that that I didn't have any energy left for anything else. And so I decided to try to sort of restructure my workout program around the idea that it's sort of like training for a season, you know, as if I were on a team in a sport or something like that, and that weight training is for the off season and down times to prepare for the season. And then really my goal is to try and do a modicum of weight training in order to maintain my levels during times when I may be, you know, playing games, as it were, you know, going involved in my sport, which I guess in currently is surfing or maybe mountain biking or whatever. But at any rate, in the past couple of years, I wasn't really saving much energy for surfing or mountain biking. And so I've tried to restructure that. And this week, coming back around here, this week was great because for the first time since I was real sick 3 or 4 years ago, I was able to have multiple, you know, two surfs a day, multiple days in a row. It wasn't very long ago that would have just absolutely wiped me out. And it did wipe me out. I mean, those 3 days or 4 days in a row of double sessions, I ended this week really tired, but it was great, you guys. I could see my progress of the last 3 years. I was able to get up in the morning when I'd gone to bed feeling so exhausted that I thought, well, maybe I won't go tomorrow, whatever. And I'd get up, and I mean, I was in the water before five, a couple of those mornings. So I was just raring to go, and I'd surf till 7:30 or 8, and then I would go in, check in with work, and then usually wait for the tides to turn around. I'd be back in the water in the afternoon, 2 or 3, and surf for a few more hours. And it was just really great to see my physical capabilities back to where they used to be, to what I what I remember, you know, being wearing myself out, but being able to go enjoy the things that I want to participate in. So anyways, it was awesome, you guys. I surfed well on one day. I surfed pretty poorly when I got tired, but what I'm trying to say is I sort of got it back, and I noticed it this week after feeling like I'd really fallen off 5 years ago or so. Not just surfing, just in general, you know, my performance. I was ill, I was out of shape, I was depressed and all those things. And so it just kind of feels like I was surfing well for the first time in a decade, to be honest. I mean, it was cool. So I had a really good week. I got some great rides. As silly and superficial as that sounds, it means a lot to me. It's funny, I didn't mean much to me for the last 10 years or so, but now that I'm well and not depressed and all that, it for some reason that does a lot for my self-worth, for my sense of value. I don't know why. It's not about the quality. It's not about how good I am. It's more about that I went and tried hard. So anyways, great beginning to my week with surf. From a zero carb standpoint, let's see, I ate pretty much, what happened? Oh, I did a few interesting things. I ate mostly ground beef and some smoked salmon. One thing about the smoked salmon I'd like to touch on, you know, I've been really wary about even the most minuscule ingress in my diet with regards to foreign stuff, you know, sugars or spices or things like that. It just seems like I'm really sensitive to anything outside of beef and water. And I have been buying for the last few weeks now this one brand of smoked salmon that I really enjoy, and they have it at my inexpensive store, which makes me, you know, it biases me to think that the food's all low quality, but in this case, I don't think it is. I don't know. It's a company out of Portland. The ingredients are pretty standard for smoked salmon. Not a lot of weird stuff. There is some food coloring in, I don't think it's in the salmon because the salmon's wild caught. I think it's in the way that in their rub or whatever to just try and give it a nice red number two or whatever it is glaze. So those things, you know, made me nervous, and I thought, well, I'll try it this one time and I probably won't come back, but I've eaten it pretty regularly, like I think twice or maybe even three times last week and the week before, and I think the week before that. So I think it's been 3 weeks now. No problem. I know it's got sugar. It's probably got a fair bit, but it's a non-seasoned smoke finish, so it doesn't have any salt or pepper that I can see on top, but I know that their brine is sugar, the second ingredient is sugar. I wonder how much of that really gets into the fish, if it's all on the outside. It doesn't taste super sweet. At any rate, what's really interesting is it's not bothering me at all. It makes me, you know, I feel really good eating it. And as some of you have noted, and I've noted over the years, fish definitely is a part of this diet that makes me, I do feel better when I include fish, noticeably. So that's been interesting. I've been eating a lot of smoked salmon, and it has some stuff in it, and it's not a big deal. So that's pretty cool. And then another thing I did this week was they had chuck roll or chuck roast, which a couple different names for it, but it's not the whole chuck primal. It's a section out of the chuck. And they were selling full cryos at my store for, I think, $3 a pound. And so I didn't buy a whole cryo. I bought maybe 10 pounds to a couple chuck rolls. And I carefully trimmed the tendons and things like that bother me out, and I ground it and made ground chuck. And you know what, you guys? It was way too lean. All this talk about how I don't do very well with fat, it's really interesting to go down this path because those words are all relative, you know, littles and lots and how much fat and whatever. And come to find out, you know, even I think that lean chuck, I would just guess by looking at it, but it was probably similar to some of the leaner ground beef in the store, like maybe 90-10 or 85-15 or something like that. And I couldn't even get it. I mean, it was just gross. Not gross, but not good. I wasn't able to eat it And so I mixed it with some fattier beef and got through it. But it was interesting to note that even chuck, which should be fairly fatty, and I'm not 100% sure about that chuck roll. Maybe they get rid of a lot of the fat. But it's definitely not top round or anything like that. And still, just nowhere near enough fat. So despite me saying I don't eat much fat, I still do eat quite a bit of fat. And so that kind of brings me to my next point. I had a really great visit with my mom and dad, mother and father, this weekend. And one of the things my father and I were talking about was, well, two things. One was the grading of meat, which I thought was an interesting topic. I'd like to know more about that because, as you guys know, last week I sort of did a head-to-head comparison with the prime ribeye from Costco. And what I thought was Choice from my other store, but now that I know a little more, I think it might have been Select, which is the next step down from Choice. And truly, I enjoyed the cheaper one better. So I was trying to, we were trying to determine what the criteria were for those grades. We got a little ways into it, not too far. It sounds like they give them a score on maturity and marbling. Whether it's the whole animal or just the primals, I'm not sure how they do it. I'm going to do some more research and maybe we'll come back to circle around and cover this one in a little more depth. But I think it's really interesting because, you know, the marbling, we sort of were just speculating, but it seems like as the animals get older, they'll get probably fatter to a point anyways and more marbling. But there's something to be said for tenderness with the younger animals. So those two factors are sort of, you know, they have contrary motion, I suppose, and that's why that grading system, you know, you could have an old animal who might, you might normally say, well, that's going to be a pretty tough one, but then it's going to have a lot of marbling, and that puts it back down in the, or back up, rather, in the better, you know, meat category with some of the younger animals that maybe don't have as much marbling. So interesting the way the interplay there, how you could, you know, like I said, I had a prime from Costco, and my impression was that it was big, probably from an older animal. Well, come to find out, if it was an older animal, it should have been graded down, but maybe it would have had more marbling, so it was graded up. So I could have been wrong. I'm not sure what the deal was, but I'm going to continue to pursue that because the reason I'm doing this or interested in this is one of the things that comes up is people, you know, agonize or wonder or worry about the quality of the meat. We hear people talk about that all the time, even in our discussions, talking about how the quality of the meat may be affecting my health or things like that. And I mean, quality is a broad term, right? It could mean a quality like the tenderness or whatever. But I think when most people talk about it, they just mean like sort of overall, like the cow was raised well. It's good quality meat. It has nothing, you know, bad in there, whatever. And the idea is that there's then some other type of meat, right? That there's a low quality meat that you're going to get stuff in there that you don't get in the high quality meat, you know, imperfections or contaminants or whatever it might be. And the farther I go down this road and the more I know about raising cattle and the more experience I have with eating, you know, from my homegrown animals to the cheapest ground beef there is, the more I really start to wonder about those perceptions. You know, I mean, you guys know in the past I've been pretty vocal about some of the people who are very vocal about meat quality. And there's one in particular who just drives me nuts and how it makes all the difference in the world and you know, their way of doing zero carb or carnivore is obviously optimum nutrition and superior nutrition to a muscle meat diet, which I just find hilariously small-minded, especially when you look at a piece of ribeye, which is, you know, pretty much the same composition that these people promote in their composition of diets, but don't recognize that a whole cut of meat from an animal can represent that same thing. So, oh, you could never, you know. Anyways, I'm off track. What I wanted to say was that there's this perception of quality with regards to the meat and the animals. And I'm not saying that's not, I'm not saying there's no truth there. I don't know. And I'm curious. I'm I'm pretty darn skeptical that there's much difference. I mean, what I believe happens when a new batch of animals comes to the stockyard and are graded, there may be, let's just say there's 100 animals from Jim's farm down the street, and all of Jim's cattle come into this pen. They were all raised the same way. Some of those cattle, based on their maturity and their marbling, are going to be prime beef. Some of those cattle are going to be choice. Some of those cattle are going to get labeled select. And come to find out from this cool conversation with my father, those are the prime, choice, select. I've only made it through three. And from there, there's like a ton more. And I don't remember, I'll just say canning and cutter and a few other things. But there was like six more grades going down that were still, as far as I know, fit for human consumption, commercial grade cattle. So at any rate, the point is, I don't think they're going like, these cows have a bunch of hormones and they were fed Purina cow chow. So those are lower grade. And here, Costco, you only get the cows that were fed the best grass and never were woken up early or whatever it might be that affects the quality in people's imaginations. So really what I'm trying to say is I'm pretty skeptical. There is difference in quality, obviously. And like I said, quality is a broad term. But for the most part, the difference between an $18.99 ribeye prime at Costco or the $3.69 select ribeye at my Super Savers store, I'm not convinced there's one is better meat than the other than it may be a little more tender and marbled. And have come from a younger cow or whatever. So, interesting stuff, you know. And that all was spawned by me making a comment on Reddit to try and help somebody who said, "Hey, where do you guys buy your meat? This is getting expensive." Which is one of the common zero carb questions. And I said, this person was in the Northwest, and I said, "Well, if you're in the Northwest, there's these cheap stores." And it was interesting because he said, "Oh, I have one of those in my neighborhood, but I went and looked at the meat, and it just seems like low quality. I want to do better." So that's where this whole thing came from in my head. And what was interesting about that interchange was I felt the exact same way. Oh, I think I just tapped my microphone. Sorry. I felt the exact same way when I started. And I felt the exact same way when I first walked into my store. And you guys probably heard it when I would talk about, say, I'm getting this cheap meat, this low-quality meat. So I wonder. I do know, touching on what makes me sick about my low-quality meat, I'm pretty much, I've pinned that down now to just the fact that because that's an inexpensive store, they're not high grading when they're cutting up the chuck and stuff to go into the grind. It's all going in. So there's just a lot of connective tissue and tendons and tough stuff, which I don't do well with mixed in there. So that was really interesting. And I'm going to try and learn more about that grading process so that I'm not compelled to go spend $180 on a ribeye at Costco ever again, if it really is just as healthy and, in my opinion, just as good for a third or a quarter of the price or less. So something there to look into. We can go a little farther down that path as we go here. That one's kind of fun. And there was one other thing that we talked about that I found interesting. And I don't remember what it was, so I'll come back around to it at some point. But at any rate, you guys, I think I'm going to get going. I just got home, and I'm going to have to start a fire. It's about 50 degrees in here, 52. So I think I'm going to light my fire and get on with my Sunday. I got some relaxing to do and some goals writing to do and kind of get ready for the week. I think that they were going to be ready for me on the big boat, and it's a big boat, and it's a big job, so I've got at least, when I do get back in there, I've got two or three more hard weeks of work ahead of me. I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll see what's next. So I got some interesting ideas rolling around and I've had some opportunities maybe come up on the radar here. So we'll see what happens. Seemed like I had more to talk to you guys about, but I'll come back to it. We have lots of time. So Alrighty, you guys, as always, I want to thank you so much for listening and watching and for all your support. And I want to apologize for not coming back to your comments on YouTube. I'm reading them, I promise. They pop up on my email, and I just don't always get back to YouTube to interact. And I apologize for that. It seems like I just get there once a week these days. And I'm going to keep trying to do better at that. It seems like I get in there and I talk to you guys on Sunday, and then the week starts rolling and I don't get back to it. So apologize for that, but I really appreciate your comments. So know that I'm getting them and that they mean a lot to me. Dean, thanks, man. Your support has been awesome. So all you guys, everybody out there, all my friends, everyone listening and watching, I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys make some progress. Stay the course. I know it can be hard. I've been having ups and downs for sure. But it beats the alternative, doesn't it? So, okay, that's enough for now. I'm going to have a great week. I'm going to stay the course, make some progress. Hope you guys do the same. And I'll see you next week. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening and watching.